A week out from the midterms, and we're going local. Let's take a look at the state House races, which are important for implementing policy at the local level and drawing House districts. Republicans have dominated state legislatures for at least two decades, and they still hold most of the control. But Democrats made significant inroads these midterms. They have total control over six more states than they did before the elections, meaning they hold both chambers and the governorship. Emma Green is a staff writer with The Atlantic, and she's been paying attention to these changes in the state government. Emma, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So there's a lot happening here. Let's start with the number of seats the Democrats won throughout the country in state legislatures.
So the number of seats that flipped from red to blue on Tuesday was 370. Now, to put that in context, under Obama's administration, 900 seats were lost from the Democrats to the Republicans. So roughly, not quite half, but getting close to half were won back by the Democrats in just one election cycle.
What do you think spurred that? Was that purely a repudiation of Trump, or was there more to it?
I think there are a few factors. A number of groups made significant investments in those states that had been written off as lost to the Republicans. So you had groups like the Future Now Fund, Forward Majority, and Flippable that built significant infrastructure in places where it hadn't been before. I also think that Democrats are recognizing that under the Obama administration, they took their eye off the ball of the way that local and state politics can have huge ripple effects throughout the federal government.
Let's talk about that. Like, what exactly are the implications that these flips can have at the federal level?
So we're seeing this most potently in redistricting. Republicans, after 2010, in a number of states across the country, were able to redraw the districts. So they look like those Rorschach inkblot test shapes. They don't really make that much sense, but they are able to cobble together different populations so that there are fewer competitive districts, and there's more benefit to the Republicans trying to run local candidates. So that's one big way in redistricting. The other is some significant efforts, especially in Republican-held legislatures, to put into place voting restrictions that have disproportionate effects on some of those marginal voters. This is voters of color, voters who maybe aren't inclined to turn out to the polls and are put off by restrictions like changing polling locations and unclear rules around registration. All of these kinds of efforts definitely had an expressed effect on the elections that we saw on Tuesday, especially in states like Georgia and some of those other southern states.
We've been talking a lot on the show lately about the 2020 census, of course. When it comes to this contentious census, if you will, what will be the significance of these flipped state legislatures?
So especially in those states that are still red but are more purple after Tuesday, Democrats are going to have more of an ability to prevent lopsided redistricting efforts after the 2020 census. You know, we're going to be seeing those redrawings happening, and that's a normal part of this reapportionment process that we go through every 10 years. In those states like Texas and North Carolina, where there were double-digit seat flips by Democrats, you know, moving those seats from red to blue, you're going to have a Democratic minority or maybe closer to a Democratic sort of mixed red legislature, red and blue legislature, and Democrats are going to have more of an ability to stop any of those lopsided redistricting efforts.
I'm speaking with Emma Green from The Atlantic, and we're talking about the midterm effects on state legislatures. Let's talk about the Republicans specifically. It seems like they have less control at the state level, but did they consolidate their control in other states?
So Republicans certainly did not have the kind of sweeping victory that Democrats had. The storyline is all on the Democratic side. But what we have seen is a sort of pulling away of America in the sense that there's now only one state legislature in the country that has a mixed legislature, meaning that one house is blue and one house is red. What this means is that for Americans, more and more where you live dictates the kinds of laws that you live under. So even in neighboring states, there might be wildly different regulations when it comes to voting, when it comes to taxes, and especially when it comes to social policies. So we're seeing that pulling away of America where there is Republican control in some places and total Democratic control in other places, and that split is really pronounced.
One of the big discussions surrounding the midterms has been, we talked a little bit about this, voter disenfranchisement, particularly in states like Florida and Georgia, which are still being contested. Like, do you see future elections impacting this in a positive way or in a negative way?
I find it hard to believe that there's going to be massive reform or an ability to put in place the kinds of restrictions and protections that would fix a situation like Florida, for example, which, as we know from history, has been in this kind of recount situation before and yet still has the kind of razor-thin margins and kind of chaotic voting system that creates the kind of effect that we're seeing now. I do think that there's a possibility on the federal level that Democrats are going to get into the House. They've now said that one of their first priorities is putting into place voting protections across the country. So it's possible that we're going to see a push from the very top of the government to protect some of those state and local level election laws.
You mentioned there's one state in the country that has its legislature split along party lines, and that's Minnesota. What's the impact of that, having that structure in that state?
So Minnesota flipped from red to blue in its House, and Democrats got close, actually, to flipping the Senate as well. They were one seat away. So even though it's a split legislature, it's not so split. They're still pretty close to a Democratic majority there. And I think ultimately it depends on your view of government. But if you believe that parties should be checked in their power, that there's something productive about the need for people to come together, having to work across the aisle because you can't get a majority for XYZ bill, then it's generally better to have that kind of genuine competition. Voters have more of a choice. Voters are able to actually have their voices represented in their legislature. So the fact that we only now have that in one single state in the country is pretty remarkable.
Emma Green is a staff writer with The Atlantic covering politics, policy, and religion. Emma, thank you for your help on this.
Thanks so much.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.